Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Works for me.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH Go Home to Final Battle. We're so excited to be joined by Kimmy Sokol tonight. We're going to let her introduce herself in a second, but before we do, I've got SP3 here. I've got all of you guys in the chat. Send in some super chats if there's anything you want to know about what's going on in ROH right now. Any questions about Final Battle? We're going to get into all of that and more, but please also leave a thumbs up on this video. Helps people find us in the algorithm a lot. Couple of things of note here. No TNA post show on the back of this. They had a clip show, a best of show. So no Joel and Cresta for you this week or next week because they're doing the same thing. Happy holidays to the TNA Impact crew, a hardworking crew. I'm sure they're happy to be enjoying their break. And we'll also going to let you know that a little guy by Kenny Omega sounds like he's on the way back. So read all about that on FightfulSelect.com. That wonderful news broke earlier today. I think probably the most anticipated return in wrestling as of right now, for sure, at least on the AEW side. I'm excited about Eddie Kingston. I'm hoping maybe we get a little Dalton Castle somewhere along the way. Maybe that's a return if he's ready. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on injury, but very, very exciting stuff. Contract news, too, at FightfulSelect.com. I said it yesterday. I don't know if there's anybody left in TNA. It seems like all their contracts are up. So that's a tough one for Joel and Cresta to review moving forward. But they've definitely got to lock in some of their key stars. But we're going to get into ROH stuff. No TNA talk. I mean, if it comes up, sure. But that's the other half of the show. And they're not here. They run from the grind. So I see you guys touching tips in the chat. We're here to touch tips always. We're going to talk about this ROH Final Battle card as well. Oh, yeah, we can try.
This is so complicated because it's like up and you know what? We're trying. That's all that matters, right?
We are trying. We're going to dig into this Final Battle card as well. We'll do some predictions. We've got Kimmy here. Why not? We'll also talk about this episode. But kind of the first thing I want to start with is I want to welcome Kimmy here. But I also wanted to say, like, we got half of this card just out of nowhere, basically announced tonight and on social media. And I said on social media that I felt like this card felt like it had was kind of weaker, but had some good stories. And now I'm like, well, now it's kind of weaker and bloated and only has a couple good stories. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But both of you are going to be there tomorrow. I will not be in attendance. But how are you feeling kind of overall, Kimmy? Introduce yourself. Say hi to everybody. And also, what are you excited for tomorrow's event? Are you excited to return to Hammerstein? How are you feeling about that?
So first of all, if you don't know me, I'm Kimmy. I beat Sean at Topgolf. That's the only thing you need to know about me.
There
and
it
my,
is.
My importance to Fightful. That is all we need to know. So controversially, I liked the build to Athena and Starks last year better compared to this year. I felt like this year it was rushed. And I felt like this wasn't what they wanted, and it, like, they have this built for 2 weeks when this has been over a year in the making. You had Lexi Nair involved, and when I interviewed Billy yesterday, she had mentioned, like, Lexi's on vacation, she's on her honeymoon, so we might not even see Lexi tomorrow, and this is probably the end of MIT. It just feels so weird without her being there, because last year Lexi was the reason Athena won.
That is a very, very good point, Kimmy. I think, you know, it's so funny because we've been seeing seeds get planted all along, but it's kind of tricky because we start to plant seeds for something that has to grow into a lovely little wrestling match plant. And sometimes if you don't see the sprouts, all of a sudden it feels like, whoa, what happened? Like we saw hints of stuff, but we suddenly took a really strong left turn. This is going to be the proper main event, which I'm excited about. But I kind of agree with you, Kimmy. I feel like last year, going into Final Battle, the build was set for there. And that was our throwback match tonight. And watching it, I was like, this kind of just made me wish they did this last year. I'm so glad we got this second year of Athena's reign. She's done stellar work. But watching it back, I was like, I'm still rooting for Billy, and I know what the ending is. SB3, how are you feeling about our main event of Final Battle, and also just kind of overall your excitement for the card?
Yeah, I'm excited that it's back in Hammerstein Ballroom. Yay! That's what it's all about. I think that the venue for the event is really more of a draw than the whole entire card. They started naming off matches on the card, and I was looking at my phone or something. I don't know what I was doing. But then I just started seeing new matches come up on the screen. I'm like, what's going on? What just happened? It just came up so fast. It was gone by the time I paid attention. I counted like 5 matches on the pre-show. And, you know, me and Kate, we just went over the card for Final Battle yesterday.
I just did a prediction show yesterday, man.
But it was a simple 7-match card. It had its faults. It had its strengths. But overall, it probably was going to be just a simple good night, a good pay-per-view. Now it just kind of feels like, ooh, that's a lot of wrestling, and a lot of wrestling that I don't know how to feel about, because you just announced it out of nowhere. Where the hell has Dynamite Kid been from? I saw him on the screen. I was like, Tommy Billington. I was like, where you been? I've been asking for you for weeks. And my main question, thank you, Kimmy, for joining us today. Thank you so much. And my question to you is,
she might have a match on the card by the end of the night. We don't know. Like, they might just announce that while we're on air. They might be like, Kimmy Sokol.
You never know. My question to Kimmy is, why is your take controversial about this being rushed this year? Because I've literally been saying it for about 2 months now on this show. That this, like, they act like this is the quickest five month build to a pay-per-view I've ever seen. They had 5 months since the last pay-per-view, and they figured out they had a pay-per-view like 2 weeks ago.
Because I just felt like people would be like, oh my god, but you know, they've been building for this, and it's all like the little things that it counts. It's like, you all don't watch the Ring of Honor TV. Like, I am going to bet
with
you, majority of the people tomorrow don't watch the Ring of Honor TV.
I agree, but if you're a sicko listening to this post show, you're probably keeping up on the ROH TV, or if not watching, you at least are through us. But Philly Dreepy kicking off our chat saying, if Billie Starks wins tomorrow, it's because she obviously cheated by tricking Lexi into getting married and going on her honeymoon. That is our story, and we're sticking to it. That is better storytelling than they kind of gave us. And it's a bummer that this incredible story is limping into the finish here, because it's been great for the majority of the 2 years. And I wish it was finishing stronger. I won't give away too much, but I do know, like, Athena once again, despite being kept off of AEW television, at least is in the mix in the Fightful Awards voting for in-ring wrestler of the year again. And I gotta say, that's always impressive enough. And then on top of that, like, they don't let her out of the ROH box, and she's still winning it. So that means when people tune into pay-per-views, or the rare occasions when people see her wrestle outside of ROH, they're understanding the significance of this reign. So for it to kind of limp into the end is a bummer for sure. But we've got some more love coming in for you, talking about something that I'm getting a little more excited about. I worked myself into a bit of a shoot, but then they started running some Nigel McGuinness video packages, and I'm like, is it happening? Are we getting Nigel McGuinness answering this open challenge for the ROH Pure title? Let's talk about that, and then we'll do some predictions, obviously, but I feel like that was like a dream that I made. Like, that is something that I personally want. His return meant so much to me as a wrestling fan. The Danielson match was great. He was fantastic in the Casino Gauntlet. He should have won it, but that's a different story for another time. Nigel coming back would be such a wonderful story to Hammerstein. I'm going to throw it to SV3 on this first, though, just because we did a prediction show and we were throwing around some other names that might be fun with that. You had mentioned Kushida, Speedball Mike Bailey had come up. Mustafa Ali was another one. So Nigel, I think, for the nostalgia and to do so at Hammerstein is just like, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. It makes me so excited. But I will then probably be, I'll be at my parents tomorrow in all likelihood. And I'll be, if I miss Nigel McGuinness returning to Hammerstein, I will jump out the window. But it is the first floor. So you don't have to worry. But I'm because it's going to make me so upset that I missed this. But I was kind of just throwing out there, wouldn't that be fun? Tonight running the video package feels like a little foreshadowing. Commentary has mentioned his name a lot of recent too. So if that's the way that they're trying to set the table, that's awesome. Also, Nigel and Caprice be good at their jobs because they don't have a lot of other meat on the bone in this product. But SP3, are you feeling like the girlhood dream is going to come true here since you and I talked about this literally yesterday?
What they call manifesting. That's what Kate is doing. I'm stronger to say that it's more likely. I'm like at a 30% likelihood now that Nigel could be the one. But my whole thing, if Nigel is the one that answers this open challenge, yeah, it's gonna be cool. Yeah, it's gonna be a good pop. It's gonna be a great moment, probably a great matchup. But that's something that you probably should have promoted. Because if you really want to sell out the Hammerstein, what this card is seriously in need of is some ROH kind of representation. You have of this whole roster that has legendary legacies in Ring of Honor, and you're not using it on this card. And literally, every Ring of Honor pay-per-view card since Tony Khan got this company had more than this on it.
Yeah, I think, Kimmy, I'll get your thoughts on this, too. Are you excited about the possibility of Nigel? Are there any other names that you're thinking of? And also, you know, I feel like there's no balance between we shoehorned a bunch of main roster people onto this card 2 weeks beforehand, and we're completely void of any nostalgia. There's got to be a middle ground that we can strike here. I am glad that it's featuring more present-day ROH talent. That's something I've been complaining about nonstop, but Any predictions on who this might be, Kimmy? And what are your thoughts on kind of the lack of main roster presence on this ROH card? Do you think maybe we're getting the TV announcement and they want to showcase who's going to be on that show?
So I'll answer the second part first. So I always have very low expectations with the Ring of Honor pay-per-views just because it's always, we'll announce three matches and in 48 hours we'll get our whole card out there. And no matter how much we try to be like, oh my God, why is Tony doing this and trying to make our voices heard? He doesn't listen to us. And it sucks. Like, even the two matches that we got announced tonight, like Mantor and Atlantis Jr., Mantor is not a singles wrestler. He's a tag team wrestler. Why couldn't you just do MXN versus Atlantis Jr. and someone else from CMLL? And then randomly, like, Shibata. Like, I would have had, like, Shibata could have entered the open challenge because he's a former Pure champion. Like, that would have been super cool. But I guess Tony had ideas for other things. In terms of who I think can announce, I think you are going to get your nostalgia here. I had said Nigel because they showed that video of, like, the tales leading up to Hammerstein. They're showing it tomorrow. I also said Samoa Joe. Also, sure. Another Ring of Honor alums, you know, his TV show is wrapped up filming, so I don't really know what he's doing. That could be super cool, just as a one-off. Jerry Lynn, ROH alumni, someone who's in AEW. If Hogg was not running tomorrow, I also would have thrown out Amazing Red for the New York City. Like, oh my God, that would have been so cool. But House of Glory decided to run, and I was supposed to be there working with the Hardys, but I decided to go to Final Battle instead, and I feel like I'm going to internally cry because I could have been with Jeff and Matt Hardy working with them.
Like, I could have been making money instead, but I'm with you on a lot of what you said. I kind of dig that, and I hope it's Nigel, because there'll be something that feels like really, really special about this card and this moment. Like there's not a ton on there right now, unless they actually do the thing with Athena and Billy, which I'm still not sold on. I think they probably do. I am nervous they're going to save it for the first TV of ROH, assuming that TV deal is coming. And I am also nervous that the Wrestle Dynasty thing might have caused a wrinkle in some of the storytelling that they're doing. But we will see what the case is there.
I do think that the go-home angle gave me more hope that they're going to do the thing with Billy. And you're good shout with the New York representation, because I think the best prediction that I made on our preview as far as like someone to come in, get a great ROH pop, and then lose the matchup so Lee can continue his reign, Homicide.
Sure.
Homicide would be the best, would be the best option as far as like getting that New York rub as well.
He had a major moment at Final Battle as well, Homicide, winning at, yes, in Hammerstein, I believe, right? So
yes, my first Ring of Honor event.
His first Ring of Honor show.
Pop my cherry.
I'm SP3. Oh. If it was at Hammerstein, I probably saw it. All your favorite legends. Kate, you missed out. That's what I deal with every week.
This is my sixth Final Battle attending at the Hammerstein Ballroom. 11-year-old Kimmy walked in many years ago, and look where we are. I'm meeting you tomorrow. Who would have thought?
I love that. We got some more love coming in from Shame Monster saying TMDK to SP3 space suit and Unbreakable Kimmy. I love that. Lord bless Dustin Rhodes running the blade. Sorry, Machete, for that vignette. If not Nigel, then Speedball. Yeah, he's an interesting possibility because he's technically not up until the end of the year, but I don't think TNA Impact has like a lot of, no, we need to be using you when we're doing best of clips would be like a very crappy business practice, I feel like, on their end. So hopefully if that's the direction they want to go, that would be great. I think there's a lot of potential for that to be one of the most exciting things to happen on the card, regardless of who shows up. But let's get these kind of predictions run through, and then we'll dig into tonight's episode a little bit. There's a lot more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. So if you've been here from the beginning, you know my spiel with this. But for some reason, we get the latecomers the most on this one. So over 2,200 of you watching right now, over 2,300, actually. We could fill the 2,300 arena with everybody that's watching across platforms. So gotta remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. The Kenny Omega news that he would be back by World's End was broken today on Fightful Select. Tons of contract news. TNA taking a hit in their free agent market for sure, but plenty, plenty more contract news to come. Also, the Fightful Awards subscriber voting privilege back there if you are interested. Still a couple of sponsorship spots open. We are blessedly filling up a lot, but it's been really rewarding to have other creators say like, hey, me and my co-host split this for $50 and we want to do a spot because we find value in what you do. So this is very rewarding as someone who's been coordinating a lot of those. We've had a lot of creator support and we value that you guys are willing to spend your money on us. That does mean a lot. So thank you so much for that. You can email me at kate@fightful.com if you're interested in some of those packages. But Ricardo saying love for the hosts and my homies in the chat tonight. Love right back to you, Ricardo, but not so much love for what we got announced on this ROH card today. We're going to talk about what we got. To be honest, when they started rounding out the card, I was like, oh, these are the 0 hour matches. And then I was like, nope, some of these are just straight up on the card, which was something else considering QT Marshall and Jay Lethal is also on this card as just a match to have. But I'm glad that there's a lot of deserving talent who should be on this card getting to appear. I'm actually excited for some of the matches, but they've just materialized really out of thin air. So let's kind of work our way through this. I'll give you two matches at a time and you guys can give me your predictions. But Kimmy, we'll start with you on Undisputed Kingdom versus the Infantry and Dark Order versus GYV. Some late tag team action coming on to this. What were your thoughts on these two matches and who do you think are going to win?
So if you saw Mike Bennett's tweet, he had tweeted earlier today that the Undisputed Kingdom, him and Taven, have never teamed at the Hammerstein Ballroom ever.
Oh, that's so cool that they're going to be on this. Then
it's crazy to me. Like, I saw that tweet. I'm like, okay, so they'll be announced tomorrow in some capacity. But I actually think the infantry is going to win this one because of their new heel turn. I don't think Shane Taylor Promotions is walking out with people losing. But I mean, not. they did just lose on TV a couple weeks ago. So that makes me kind of like, what are we doing here? But yeah, I think the Undisputed King, I would actually not be surprised if we see Maria Kanellis come out with the Undisputed Kingdom.
That would be really cool. That would be really, really cool. Shane Taylor, I'm glad you mentioned him, gave an interview with Sean that you can check out on Fightful YouTube and Fightful social medias while they were at WrestleCade. Famously not WrestleCon, who this woman basically runs. But some good stuff in there. He's always such a great interview. Always such a great interview. So feel free to check that out. Shane Taylor Promotions, I love the force that they're being built into. I think they need to win this. I'm kind of split though, SP3. Where do you fall on this? And then we'll circle back for that GYV match as well.
I'm gonna ride with Kimmy here. I'm gonna go with Shane Taylor Promotions against Undisputed Kingdom. GYV and the Dark Order. I was kind of tipped off about that. I did an interview with the Grizzled Young Veterans. Might have something that comes out on Sports Illustrated about them calling out the ROH and AEW tag team division. So I think that GYV, they're gonna get the win here. And they said this is kind of on their bucket list to perform in the Hammerstein Ballroom. So happy for them.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
That is so great. That actually just feels right. Like GYV on ROH streaming television, whatever, feels appropriate. Yeah, they're there with those New Japan Strong titles because it took them from TMDK, so...
But they lost it. They lost it to the Western crew. What are we doing? What are we doing, Gato? Gato, I haven't yelled at you in weeks. What are you doing? You've been on good behavior, and now I got to yell at you. You don't get no dinner, no dessert, no nothing.
Wow.
We need one of those. It's been like however many days since I yelled at Gato things in the background. Yeah. And we definitely need one of those, but... I'm with you on this. I'm going to go GYV. I'm also going to go Shane Taylor Promotions. Definitely voting with my heart on that. Also with my head a little bit. Like I that would be my pick because I love all those guys. But I also think like there's nothing for the Undisputed Kingdom to win here by getting a win. I think a loss actually kind of helps support what's happening on AEW with them. I would love it if Maria was healthy enough to come out and wanted to. That would be fantastic. But I feel like the moment of them being at Hammerstein, if anybody deserves it through that new era of of ROH, like they certainly do. But Kimmy, where do you stand on Dark Order versus GYV?
So I think this feud over stealing each other's clothes, that is what this feud is built off of. The Dark Order stealing the Grizzled Young Veterans' clothes. Evil Uno was so upset, so heartbroken. But I also think Grizzled Young Veterans are going to win because they had so much hype when they signed with the AEW Ring of Honor. That's kind of been on the back burn a little bit. So I'm hoping that a win here could kind of get them into some tag team gold contention.
Let's go. Let's go. I've been wanting that so bad. So fully with you guys on that. Good tag building. I'm hoping it leads somewhere for sure. I think they need it to, but I'm very excited for Harley versus, am I saying it Hanako right? Hanako. Harley, I'm not going to lie, she seems like she's a bit of a Harley Graham knockoff. Like, I feel like she's just trying to be like, oh, I'm basically the unmasked version of Harley.
Harley Graham influence.
Oh, okay. Okay. I respect it. Genuinely one of the most delightful surprises of 2024. We're talking about the Fightful Awards. She's in the running for the Final Two. Her and Chelsea Green are basically in a dead heat, or have been in a dead heat, at least last I knew, of Funniest Wrestler of the Year award. Even on AEW yesterday, she's doing the 12 Days of Christmas ad, and she's golden everything she does. What can't this woman do, man? She's got her ventriloquist dummy on Cameo with her. She's unbelievable. What an incredibly talented and diversely talented within the entertainment niche performer that we have at our hands with Harley Cameron. Been lovely watching her kind of blossom into who she's become. The entertaining segments with Rachel Elring were some of my favorite things that have been done in this longer stretch. But I am going to go with Harley getting the win here because I think they just want to ride that wave. But I think what we're trying to get out of this is like a Harley can go kind of match would be my guess. What are your thoughts on this? We'll start with Kimmy on this one and then loop back around.
Harley Cameron is someone who has maximized all of her minutes, and I think 2025 is going to be such a big year for her. I was actually talking to a couple promoters earlier today about, like, maybe you should book Harley Cameron on the convention scene. Just saying, she's on TV every week.
Oh,
just
my God. She would make $9 trillion. Yeah.
But, right? You would think that would make sense, but yeah, my job is to yell at people. So I'm very excited that Harley Cameron has been added to the show. I was wondering what other women's match we were going to get on here. I assumed it was going to be Rachel Ellering, but I have a feeling, because if you look at the Ring of Honor Twitter, they had said, like, you know, Harley Cameron's new friend, Rachel Ellering. So I think she's going to get involved somehow. But I'm actually going to go the other way, because I feel like every time that Ring of Honor brings people in, they never, like, it's like a 50-50. They win, they lose. But I think Hanako's going to win this one.
Okay. SP3, what do you think?
That's a good shout. I don't think so, though. I think that I'm sorry. I got PTSD from watching this show and seeing Sydney Akeem look like $1 million and then lose. So I think that's what's going to happen to Hanako as well on the Zero Hour pre-show. Look like $1 million and then she'll lose to Harley Cameron, which I agree. Harley Cameron is hilarious. I love every minute of her. We just did a AEW tier list on True Hill Heat. And we put her up higher than a lot of people. That's going to be very controversial. Can't wait for the heat.
Like, Harley is a young, growing talent. Serpentico. I love him so much. Do not get me wrong. I love Serpentico so much. I am aghast. I am utterly confused. Utterly confused by this booking, but there you go. There you go. We've got Shibata versus Tommy Billington in a cool but what? And also Mansoor versus Atlantis Jr. in a cool but what match. So SP3, we'll start with you. What do you think we're getting out of those? I'll go Tommy Billington and Atlantis Jr.
So, you know, sometimes when you like, when I used to work at like retail, someone would win like employee of the month and they'd be walking around with it like it's a title, and then someone else they get lazy, they stop showing up to work, they only show up a couple of times, and then someone else wins the employee of the month, And then they want to show up now. Like, what's that? That's Atlantis Jr., ladies and gentlemen. That's as a Ring of Honor television champion. So I was like, when I saw him on my screen, I was like, what you doing here?
Yeah.
Now you want to come? Now you want to be here? How many months were you Ring of Honor television champion? Couldn't show up to work over here? You lost your title on an AEW pay-per-view. That's how much you didn't want to show up to work? You lost it somewhere else? Atlantis Jr. wins, probably. Katsuri Shibata and Tommy Billington. I'm glad Tommy Billington is back. I'm glad he gets to perform in what I expect to be a hot crowd tomorrow. And Shibata is a legend. Glad to see him live once again. So Shibata wins.
Okay. Kimmy, what are your thoughts on Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington versus Shibata and one of our favorites around here, one of our tip-touching favorites, Mansoor versus Atlantis Jr. Gotta say, the GYV MXM match, Mansoor really showed out. I was very impressed by what he could do in the ring, but singles action here, I think it's probably setting a loss up. What do you think over there?
I agree with SP3's assessment of Atlantis Jr. I think that I couldn't have put it better myself. Welcome back to work. Don't know why you're here, but cool. Like I said earlier, I would have rather seen a tag team match, but I don't book Ring of Honor. I'm not Tony Khan. This match should be fine. I think this should kick off the show just because I think it'd be hot to just get it over with. To be honest, just get it over with. But Atlantis Jr. is going to win. As far as the Shibata match, I think they're building Shibata up to be really strong. I thought he was going to be in a more profiled match on this pay-per-view with how many wins he was getting on Ring of Honor TV week after week. So I'm going to pick Shibata, but I think at the end of this match, they're going to give Tommy Billington. I don't think he's gotten his graphic yet. So if he hasn't gotten his graphic yet, it's going to be at the end of this match of him officially being all elite.
Okay.
Need to give him a Ring of Honor graphic. Like, Tommy Billington is honorable.
We're not good enough to have those.
He's all honor.
Does it look the same, but just it's the black and red, like
it's all
black
honor.
And red. It's black and it. Red. It's great.
It's perfect. All honor.
That's what they're gonna start doing when they get their TV show.
There you go. Chat saying, "Give Kimmy the book." That's what's up. We're gonna keep working through this card, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. There's a ton of you watching right now. We're running down this final battle card, which just half of it just got announced like 10 minutes ago. So we're giving our thoughts, but. Let's talk about Lee J versus Gates of Agony. This one is an interesting one because I feel like this could actually go either way. Gates of Agony talking about how they've been undefeated for a while. Lee J seems to be a priority. Their name has been spoken about very highly by some key talent in the Hurt Syndicate, by Swerve Strickland. So feels like they have really big plans for them too. And you're going to want some establishing wins. I'm going to go with Lee J on this just because I feel like Gates of Agony being undefeated and then being pissed there's some juice in that. There's some juice in that for sure. We'll start with SP3 on this. What do you think we're getting out of Lee J versus Gates of Agony?
Why isn't this match on the main card? Like this,
I don't know.
A longer build than most of the matches that's on the main card. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I mean, I like Lee J together. I think they get the upset win. I think that we got a teaser of that. And I think that Toy Leona goes crazy and beats up everybody at the end because that's what they kind of tease tonight.
Yeah, he's really good at that too. He's so smooth in that ring and there's something really cool to me about big guys that have a very calming and assassin-esque tone to them. Samoa Joe has that where it's like the big guy who like yells and is crazy is so fun. There's something really intimidating about the guy who's like, I am absolutely on a violent rampage and I'm totally cool with it. It's so like terrifying that they're just, I am fine with my actions of beating the ever living crap out of you. So Kimmy, where are you on Lee J versus Gates of Agony?
I agree. I think that there's something that they're really playing into with, oh my God, the Gates of Agony are undefeated. Brian Cage is also undefeated in Ring of Honor sanctioned matches. I think there's a reason they keep repeating it and reminding people of that. I also think Lee J gets the win because actually on the Ring of Honor media call, Tony Khan very much highlighted how much he loves this team. He highlighted EJ Nuduka, and I don't think he didn't do that without a reason. So I'm also going with Lee J. And I agree. I would rather this match be on the main card than Jay Lethal and QT Marshall be on the Zero Hour.
I agree. There's a couple of things that are funny about the way that this got set up. I'd be fine with the world title match being on the 0 hour, but whatever. We're going to talk about it. Guys, keep those super chats coming. We appreciate the support. We've been talking a little bit about QT Marshall and Jay Lethal, and they did have a pretty decent sit down. Ian Riccaboni is so great in those settings, and QT Marshall also getting a little bit more sincerity was nice out of the silliness that we've been getting from him. But this generous chat from C. Delgado, who has one of my favorite ZSJ stories ever. We'll talk about it in a second, but saying, happy holidays, fellow ROHers. Once again, I felt like they did a good job with the go-home episode. Surprised at interest I now have for Lethal and QT after that segment. Love Athena, but it's Billy's time. I agree with you. C. Delgado having my favorite ZSJ story of, I believe he was there with his son. I believe it was him. And his son yelled at ZSJ, use an ankle lock. And he was like, all right. And then did. My goat, ZSJ. I love it. But yeah, I feel like QT versus Jay Lethal, probably Jay Lethal's to win. But some modern production we've seen on AEW trickling down into some of these ROH episodes are recent as well. This was just a very nice, clean, simple thing to try and get our investment. Those 2 weeks beforehand, they were setting this up. Lee was saying, I've got more important things to do. And QT Marshall's saying, who's more important than I? Fighter of the Costco guys, selling out Full Gear. But this, I like that we got this some sincerity from QT Marshall. Let's start with Kimmy on this one. I'm going to go Jay Lethal getting the W here, but where do you sit? Do you think QT needs this to look strong for his rematch against the Costco guys?
No. I will say that this sit-down interview was actually really good. There was a lot of things about QT that I didn't know. Like, I never knew that he had, like, the neck surgery, and I knew he was in Ring of Honor prior, but I didn't know, like, all of that stuff. So for, like, casuals, if they exist in Ring of Honor fandom, that was a really nice touch, and I appreciate it. But I think the Costco guys are actually going to get involved in this match because they said at the ticketing event at All In that they will be at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And they confronted Max and QT Marshall at that indie show in Florida last weekend. And I think that was a hint that they're not done here. And even though AJ may not be healed from his broken foot, you know, he could do some physicality because he went at it with QT. And I believe he got physical with Max as well. So I think Jay Lethal is going to win with the help of the Costco guys.
I love that shout. Very, very well played. And despite having a broken foot, one can still bring the boom. C. Delgado saying, and then he took photos with us ringside after the match. You are correct, Kate. I just love ZSJ and the New Japan and ROH size environments. Like, he just has so much fun messing with people. It's such a blast. Go see him live, dickheads. SB3, are you thinking we get some Costco guys bringing the boom at Hammerstein and costing QT this match?
I would love that because that would be a thunderous pop. It'll be the biggest pop since Enter the Sandman hit at One Night Stand number one in 2005, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to see Big Boom AJ. He's going to be taking the double chocolate chip chunk chip cookie, and he's going to eating it like he's Sandman. He's just going to be double dogging that stuff. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Can you show off how strong you are and bring the boom real quick?
I'm wearing a hoodie though, so I can't, like, it won't go through because I'm wearing
I can see your muscles straight through. Your biceps are just like busting out of that hoodie. My goodness.
Is.
So
trash
on, you know.
I did enjoy this sit-down interview. It did kind of shed some light on their history together. I did not know that it was a match with Jay Lethal before he got like the neck injury. I knew about the neck injury, but I didn't know that it was against Jay Lethal, that he suffered it again. I didn't know that he was viewed as a top prospect back then because he was kind of just losing to a bunch of people like higher up on the card back in like the early 2010s. But it was nice to hear, like you said, a more sincere QT Marshall kind of shed some light, gave this matchup a lot more context. So I like that. And it made it feel like it should be on the main card for Final Battle, despite of how it looks on paper.
Yes, I agree. The extra context was nice. Everybody's just like, my God, Kimmy is so strong. How did that happen? She's gonna bring the boom.
I'm gonna get involved representing the Costco guys, and I will help Jay Lethal win.
I feel like there is like such an opportunity for Sam's Club or BJ's to be sponsoring QT Marshall, and they're not. I feel like that is a huge swing and a miss on their point. But like, I think if Kimmy came in to help QT Marshall dressed in like a Sam's Club sign, there's no countering that. There's no countering that. But
I'm gonna get food in my home city.
Heat magnet, Kimmy's so cool, but. Let's work through some more of this main card. We do have our TV title match, which not the most illustrious reign for Brian Cage. He did defend, I think, once or twice, I want to say. Hasn't been around in a while, but we do have AR Fox versus Commander versus Willie Mack, which in my notes I wrote as Willow Mack, and now I need that to be a tag team. Brian Cage and Mark Davis. SP3, we talked about this on your prediction show. Are you still feeling the same way? You had some good thoughts on this when we talked yesterday.
Yeah, I am all for it. This is why I love to do previews and predictions like this, because you brainstorm and you come up with good ideas. I think that Brian Cage should probably win this one, but it should come down to Brian Cage and Mark Davis. And we start the story of Mark Davis going through the same process that Kyle Fletcher did, where he has to go through Ring of Honor, he has to become the television champion, and that leads to Mark Davis versus Kyle Fletcher in Australia at Grand Slam next year.
That was my face yesterday, Kimmy. That was my face. I was like, SP3. Okay. Yep. We did not know your game, sir. We did, because I get to host with you every week. But Kimmy, I feel like, now agrees with your idea, which is exactly what I did. I was like, I want it to be Millie Mack, because I want it to. I thought Brian Cage retains, but the one-on-one story we get coming out of it, I wanted to be Willie Mack. I think maybe Brian Cage retains, but we go where SP3 is saying. Like, maybe that's a first ROH TV kind of thing. But, Kimmy, where are you sitting on this TV title match?
First, I will say, Ace Shock saying, Crumble Cookies, please sponsor QT. Yes, love Crumble Cookies. They opened one 5 minutes from my house, and I go almost every week because cookies are good for you guys. Anyway, does it occur to anyone else that there is always a survival of the fittest match for this TV title?
I literally said that yesterday. Yep. Mm-hmm. I was like, it seems like a ROH pay-per-view staple, it seems, at this point.
Well, because they don't build to it. So they're like, I don't know, we'll just put a bunch of crazy guys in.
That's the problem. It's lazy booking. I would rather a four-corner survival match, which is what they would do on TV week after week after week, which is horrible. I also do not understand, I said this on In the Weeds, that Commander is just taking a break from the Continental Classic.
Yeah, just taking a quick break from the C2 as an injury replacement, by the way. Like, what happens if he gets injured?
Then, you know what? Then it's cursed. The Continental Classic is cursed for life. But I do think that since Cage is practically undefeated in Ring of Honor sanctioned matches, that he will retain here. But I really like SP3's idea with Mark Davis and the Kyle Fletcher and the little Easter eggs. So I hope that happens. But it's Ring of Honor, so it probably won't. But we could all hope and pray.
That could be a really fun first TV idea if they're going to have TV early in the year. Like, that being a story that you could easily tell and interweaves with AEW. I think there's something really fun and rewarding for Mark Davis to win it in a one-on-one setting rather than like, oh my gosh, look at this. So, well, we got the Sons of Texas versus the Righteous, and I really thought the Righteous were winning, but now after today, I'm not so sure because as our wonderful super chat and support earlier said, Dustin Rhodes got split open with a machete, basically. So, really nice job by commentary to point out that this is something that has happened before. So I like the significance of the bell breaking people open and getting that again here. Was it Superstar Billy Graham who they said was broken open with that? Yeah. Thanks for keeping me honest on that. I loved the storytelling there. I actually loved the vignette that we got with this tonight. I just want the Righteous to win. So I was kind of bummed because this feels like maybe this is set up for Dustin and Sammy to retain now, but Kimmy, where do you sit on this one?
This has been the best feud going into the pay-per-view. And no one can tell me otherwise. Because they've been going at it for weeks. And it's just been little by little. And just the sit-down promo with Dustin last week. The little things of the polka dots showing, like, oh, look, you can finally see the polka dots just like you always were supposed to, throwing it back to Dusty Rhodes, which was absolutely amazing. This is probably going to be one of the matches of the night, just because Texas Bull Rope, I'm really hoping that they could bleed, because I know with New York, sometimes it's like, you can bleed, but you can't bleed with the Athletic Commission, and I feel like if they're not able to bleed, it takes away. But, like, I've been to Ring of Honor shows where they have blood, so maybe, you know, screw the New York Athletic Commission. I never said that, though, being from New York.
I think, don't hold me to this, you cannot intentionally bust yourself open. But if it's like a consequence of the match, then you're okay. But that's why, like, there's GCW running there this year. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work out for you guys. So, because it's like the ultra violence of it. If you bleed in combat, I think unintentionally, there's not much that they can commission around that. Because what if you just got busted open in a pure match? Like, what if Nigel McGuinness answers the call and lariats you and you're just busted open because he hits you really hard? So I think that's the delineation. Don't quote me on that, though. But
we'll find out tomorrow. We know if they don't bleed in this match, then it is the Athletic Commission. But I actually think the Righteous are going to win. I think it's the most sense. I think that you could really build here to Sammy and Dustin having a feud against each other. I think Sammy's staying with Ring of Honor, because I also think Ty Conti is also going to make her appearance known in Ring of Honor. I don't know if it's going to be a final battle, but I think soon we're going to see her kind of go into the women's TV title picture, and it's something I've been really hoping for, so I really hope they do that. But yes, the Righteous and new tag team champs.
Now, I love that idea. I would love to see Tay Conti Mello in that TV title picture. I think that would be fun. It's okay. It wasn't malicious. We know. It takes some adjusting to. Change your name.
She hasn't been here for a year, you know.
But I like that. And I think Sammy is working better in ROH than a lot of his AEW time. So I do like that. But SP3, this segment kind of dictates the baby faces should get their heat back, but it was not an in-ring loss, so it doesn't feel like by doing wrestling math, the Righteous automatically are not going to win. I also think the Righteous are a hell of a TV act if they are getting TV behind them soon enough, because they're so interesting to be a television wrestling act. But where are you sitting on this tag team match now?
After this angle, yeah, I'm convinced the Sons of Texas are going to win. That's how wrestling booking 101 works. Whoever stands tall on the go home show is usually not winning at the pay per view. Sorry,
especially the heel face dynamic here. Like that, it feels like
the heels, especially when it's the heels. Heels that have pretty much dominated this rivalry. I agree with Kimmy. It's been the best build to Ring of Honor Final Battle because it's been going on for a couple of months now, at the very least. And they knew that was what they were going towards. And unlike Billy and Athena, it seems. So yeah, I agree with that. And I've been really liking the segment. Really like this segment a lot. I like the brutal beatdown. I like the kind of like spy work that they were doing, where they snuck in, they used him vacuuming the ring to get in there so he couldn't hear him. It made sense, because otherwise, if he doesn't have the vacuum, like, how did he not hear them sneaking up on him? And I want to give it up to Ian and Caprice. I thought they sold this angle very well when it went back to them. They was like, you know, we have to go to action, but I don't know. I'm glad we have action, because I don't know how to react to all of that. Unlike what I saw on like Monday, when they was like, serious angle. 45 million people just watched this. This is great. Oh, but yes, his neck is broken.
I had that thought too of like, why are we celebrating how many people watched your champion get put out by a package pile driver? I don't know, but just Ricardo saying Cage looks like he's going through a breakup.
Is that beard true? Cage is very different than not beard Cage.
It's so confusing.
On a ramble all the time. And I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? It doesn't work. Shave the beard. Yeah, we don't need it.
Joel, who's running from the grind, has an interesting thought. Says that the Righteous win tomorrow and Sammy turns on Dustin after the match.
He's taking my notes. Yeah. He's taking my notes.
No. See, I got to tell Kimmy what I told Kate a couple of weeks ago. I think Kate got mad at me when I told her what the book
is. Yes, I did. I got very mad at you.
I saw the notes. Dustin and Sammy, the Sons of Texas, are going to be champions for a while. because we're gonna go into 2025 with all this. They'll probably drop the titles sometime in the spring, and then they'll do a whole angle where Dustin is gonna go for the world championship one more time. All in Texas. Dustin Rhodes versus Chris Jericho. He finally wins it. And then Sammy will probably turn on him because Sammy is going to be the next Ring of Honor world champion. See, I adjusted it a little from what I told you before, King. I told you before, it's, oh, Dustin loses to Jericho and then Sammy's the one that beats Jericho. No, they're going to have Dustin win and then Sammy turns heel and then Sammy wins the Ring of Honor world title.
Kimmy, what happened to Shane Taylor? You know what I did last week when SP3 said that? I went, oh no. SP3, he's not allowed on the show anymore.
I mean, did you forget that Shane Taylor had called out the Ring of Honor champion nearly 6 months ago?
Twice. He gets to do it once a season and it's never granted. That's what we've kind of determined around here. But
okay. Got it. Understood.
But let's move on to Lee Moriarty versus a mystery opponent. If it's Nigel McGuinness, I will be out of my mind with excitement. I think Lee retains if it's not Speedball. If it's Speedball, have him come in and just win it. That would be so much fun. But kind of hard to do predictions on a mystery opponent. But because of that, I'm going to say that Lee retains. If it's Nigel, I think you're going to see Lee Moriarty get to have a match that is a sight to see, because to me, part of the story with this Lee Moriarty pure reign has been that he behaves a lot like Nigel McGuinness did when he was a pure title. So psychologically, somebody that matches your freak in the ring in the same way in a pure match, I think you're going to see something really, really special if that's the case. Kind of talks about who we thought it might be. But now I want to know, are we getting a Nigel Pure run in 2024? Be still my heart. SB3, we'll start with you.
Yes, give me that. Give me that. I forget what I was thinking. Give me that. I want to see Nigel McGuinness as Pure Champion. But I think that Lee should have a longer run with the Pure Championship. I think he's doing really good work. I like the confidence that he's showing on the mic as well. I like that they gave him kind of a promo. They gave him like a video package on this show this week. So I'm going to say Kushida is going to answer the open challenge. We get Kushida and Lee Moriarty. Lee wins.
I wouldn't be mad about that at all. Raphael saying, what ROH or ECW legend do you think accepts the open challenge personally? Since you said Nigel, my headcanon is now Nigel, but the possibilities. We did talk about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. Kimmy had said Amazing Red would be a fun shout. We kind of speculated on Speedball or Mustafa being really fun shouts as well. That I love that we're getting New Japan crossover. There's several people that I would love to see. Give me Gabe Kidd versus Lee Moriarty for a pure match. Like, let's see how violent a pure match can get. But Kimmy, do you think Lee retains here, or do you think we're getting a new pure champion?
I think Lee has to win until everyone in Shane Taylor Promotions has gold, because I think that is the end goal, is that everyone in Shane Taylor Promotions is going to get gold. I believe Trisha Dora is going to be the next one who wins gold for them, and then the Infantry is going to defeat whoever wins at Final Battle, whether it be the Righteous or the Sons of Texas, and then Chris Jericho or whoever is going to lose to Shane Taylor. So I think Lee Moriarty is going to win. My final answer for the TBD is going to be either Nigel McGuinness or Samoa Joe.
Would be nice to have our 6-man titles back to make that a lot easier for Shane Taylor Promotions. That he would be neat.
They said it on the media call. Someone asked about it. I was so happy.
6 month boo boo. A 6 month boo-boo.
So that's what Tony said. Tony was like, you know, this injury has been taking a little longer than we planned. And I was like, bro, did you not think the injury, like this injury, it's like kind of serious, not gonna lie, like math, common sense, bro. But he said we're gonna see him very soon. That's his famous words. Very soon and great. It's like the only words
very soon is like maybe in the next 5 years. But because you said bro, now we're gonna switch to Cardona versus Jericho. I think Jericho's retaining. No. I think this is gonna be a match that I will not like, that the crowd will love. I think there's going to be a ton of crowd reaction for this, and I'm going to be sitting there, meh. Like, I don't have high expectations for this. I don't love that Cardona's working face here. SP3 and I have been talking about that week over week. It makes no sense that the indie god who reinvented himself on the indies is coming in to work a babyface program with Chris Jericho is weird. I think in-ring wise, it's going to be one of the less impressive things. I think psychology wise, it'll be fantastic. I think crowd reaction wise, it'll be fantastic. I watch ROH pay-per-views for the in-ring. That's just the way I am. But if you give me Nigel McGuinness versus Lee Moriarty, I'm going to not complain. I do think Jericho probably retains here. We'll start with SP3. What do you think?
So what I just came up with a nice little angle. So you do an angle where we see that Matt Cardona has been attacked backstage and he's down. And then it's announced that Matt Cardona cannot make the matchup. So it's a big mystery on who's going to be his replacement. And Chris Jericho comes out. He cuts a promo saying about penthouses in Spanish Harlem. In case anybody was asking that question, there are no penthouses in Spanish Harlem. I've lived in. Oh my God, that was the best Jericho segment of the year. That was like that whole segment for especially for us who live in New York. That was the best one. He said brownstones in Tribeca. I was like, is that? And then he said penthouses in Spanish Harlem. I was like, fell down. Oh, I know that's not a thing.
Fell down laughing.
So great segment. So I want him to cut a
promo. You're in soaked streets of Broadway. Unreal. I want him to unreal. Cut a promo
similar to that whole video package. And then it's the big buildup. Who's going to be the mystery? And it's Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green, one night only, get your Ring of Honor, replace her husband, and she becomes the Ring of Honor world champion. No one's going to complain. Tony Khan has broke open the forbidden door.
Busted straight open.
Double champion Chelsea Green, and then she relinquishes the title and gives it to her husband. She's like, I won this for you, honey.
No.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Perfect.
Christmas miracles.
I thought you were going to be like, and then Ricky Starks. Nope, you went Chelsea Green, and I respect it.
Oh, how can I complain?
Not at all. I wouldn't complain about either of those angles, actually. But what do you think we're getting out of Jericho and Cardona?
I think there's going to be a stipulation added to this somehow, some way, just based off the beatdown at GCW. What happens to the New York gimmick after he retains? I become the Queen of New York and no one complains. That is what happens. You're
marrying Jericho? That's weird.
No, it's just that I'm taking his gimmick from him because we don't claim him in New York. Again, this man claims he went to Staten Island. You know what Staten Island is known for? Pete Davidson and myself. You really think I let this man into my borough? This is not what happened. This is literally what my friends say. They're like, Staten Island's known for Kimmy Sokol and Pete Davidson. And I'm like, yes, putting us on the map is the worst borough in New York. Anyway, it's not what we're talking about here.
I think it's really sweet that Joel thinks that there's creative continuity on champions who are not on the show. So,
Joel, I was at my friend's house on January 6th, actually.
All right, let's get back to our predictions.
How left did we go here?
So there's going to be a stipulation. This is going to be my last time on Fightful, guys. Not coming back tomorrow.
Until tomorrow morning. It's fine.
Until tomorrow morning where I'm on in the weeds. So there's going to be a stipulation, I think, because of the beatdown on GCW. I just feel like it makes sense. You know, Jericho did this angle literally with, like, I think it was it a golf club? Is that what he beat him down with?
No, it was Floyd the Bat.
Floyd?
Oh, it was Floyd? It didn't look like Floyd.
Apparently it was. He had it in the car. They showed the car promo.
I was on another podcast before I came in here.
Excuses.
I don't run from the grind, though. I'm here.
Lock in, Kimmy.
I am locked in.
You and Tony Storm don't run from the grind. I'll say that much.
No, we don't. Trust me. I worked with Tony a couple weeks ago, and it was amazing. I think Chris Jericho is going to win and retain because just like Chris Jericho helped AEW get their TV deal, Chris Jericho is going to help her get theirs.
That is the theory. That is the theory. So we will see. But let's talk about our women's matches. I'm very excited for both of these. I feel like Velvet and Layla's been a bit of a sleeper. We're going to talk about what happened on tonight's show as well with this. But I am going with Velvet retaining. I wouldn't be stunned if Layla ended up winning. I would very much like to see a Layla Hirsch title run, particularly in the mid-card. I think she could be very productive. So I'm going to go Velvet and I'm going to go Billy. I wouldn't be shocked if either of those two things weren't true. Feels like it's Billy's time based on what we saw today in the tag team event. But if they saved it for a first TV or post this Wrestle Dynasty Cup, I wouldn't be stunned. But I'm going Velvet and I'm going Billy. So Kimmy, let's start with you.
My very good friend, Red Velvet, who I have been so happy with this title reign because, unlike Billy Starks, I am locked in, okay? I am so locked
in. Lock the F in, Kimmy! Chat likes you.
Oh, thank you. I guess I'll lock in on my prediction for the Red Velvet Layla Hirsch match. Unlike Billy Starks, who, according to Tony Khan, was basically not defending her title because Athena was controlling her because Athena thought that Billy was going to outshine her every week. That's what he said to me on the media call. I was like, you know what, sir?
That's a fun thing they made up, but okay.
But then I asked Billy about it in our interview, and I was like, you know, Tony said this to me. Do you agree? And she goes, yeah, you know, I was just told week after week it wasn't my night, and I was going to outshine her. So, yeah, I think Tony Khan is right with that. So I made part of a storyline. You're welcome, everybody.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, the way this card came together, you might have a match. Yeah. You're going to get off of this at 10:10. You're going to go to your other podcast. And it's going to be like Kimmy Sokol versus Beth Phoenix.
So it's going to happen. I think I'm going to lose. Red Velvet, in my opinion, deserves the award improved. I have no idea if Fightful does that, but if they do, she should be in there somewhere. Because she is someone that came back from injury, has gotten way more comfortable in the ring, has put on some of her best matches this year. She has traveled to Mexico several times representing the brand, which is more than some of the other champs do in this brand. So she loves Ring of Honor. She promotes it week after week after week. And I think for that reason, she's going to retain. And you know what? I think Rachel Ellering should be the one to beat her, or Trisha Dora, like I said earlier. In terms of our main event, I'm nervous because I feel I cannot picture Athena walking into the Tokyo Dome without that title. I can't picture it. But the spinner belt got destroyed on tonight's episode of Ring of Honor. So I'm like, okay, maybe. But it's so, like, if the New Japan Cup thing never happened, Billy Starks, hands down, makes sense. It's time. Athena versus Mercedes at All In Texas. That is what everybody wants. That's what Athena wants. But I'm like, man, like, she's really going to walk into the Tokyo Dome without the title. It's so weird. But if it's not Billy, and if it's not Final Battle, then who and when?
Yeah.
Because they missed it last year. They can't miss it twice in a row. So I'm going to go with Billy. I'm also going to throw out there that Aliens Exist by Blink-182 will be playing through the Hammerstein Ballroom as she holds up that title with pride. And Billy Starks becomes one of, because she's not the youngest, because Roxanne Perez holds that title, but she is one of the youngest Ring of Honor Women's Champions of all time.
Yeah, I think the Wrestle Dynasty Cup does add an interesting wrinkle on SP3 was saying, I think Athena wins it, and that's how she gets called up to the AEW main roster. I said maybe she loses it, and now ROH doesn't want her back because she's no longer champion and didn't win there. Like, maybe that's her redemption shot, and she loses there. But SP3, what do you think of both of our women's title matches on this card?
I like both of them. I think that the TV title one is a lot more kind of simple of a build because I feel like this is kind of them skipping a couple of steps because Layla Hirsch got hurt and they weren't expecting that, because I think that this matchup would have happened like a lot earlier than right now, or they would have been building to it a lot earlier if Layla was back and didn't get hurt at all. But because of that, I think that the real finish of this is Layla Hirsch gets the win. I'm going with Layla Hirsch, new Ring of Honor World TV champion, and Billy Starks. Yeah, I gotta go with Billy Starks. She's gotta become the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. You talked about the whole two times in a row with Billy in the last two final battles, but it's really three times because a lot of us thought Willow Nightingale was gonna beat was gonna be Athena last year at Death Before Dishonor. So you can't make it three times where it looks like you're gonna crown the big babyface win for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship and not do it. You got to pull the trigger now. now is the right place. It's in Hammerstein Ballroom. It's going to be a memorable moment. And I think that Athena is just fine to walk into a Tokyo Dome. She don't need no Ring of Honor Women's World Championship because she don't have enough space in her luggage for the cup and the title. Like, we got to think about her luggage space, y'all.
It's true. Here's a shoe. I won't tell you who, but I'm sure you can piece it together. There was a talent who I talked to who was not expecting to win a certain belt, and they were like, I literally had to buy new luggage. That's how unexpected it was. That they were like, I literally didn't pack room for this because I thought, no way, we're winning. So there
you
go.
I love when that happens.
So funny. Meet Norma saying, I had a Cobb salad for dinner. Meeting Will Hobbs was enough meat for the week. Sorry, I'm late. How was ROH tonight? Well, you're at a good point because we're actually going to switch from our predictions to this episode and a Cobb salad. I got to say, if you're talking meat, like, Jeff Cobb is pretty meaty, dude. So I gotta say, but over 3,300 of you watching right now across platforms, thank you for your support. If you're expecting for Joel and Cresta to come on, well,
that's not gonna happen. From the grind.
They ran from the grind. We called in Kimmy for reinforcements, but no TNA post show tonight because no TNA show tonight. It was a Clips show. We got love in the chat saying, go Billy. Hell yeah. TNA best of for the next 2 weeks as well. So we'll be coming off of Final Battle to talk about it, and we'll still have some extra time on the back end here. So we are going to dive into this episode of ROH television. Some good stuff. We already covered a few things, mostly the vignettes that we got, the one between QT Marshall and Jay Lethal. We talked about our tag team vignette as well, but let's kind of dive into some of the more noteworthy things about this first. We had a really, really fun match with MIT versus Blair Onyx and Missa Kate. Very nice to see both of them around. Very, very, very great talents. TNA should maybe consider signing them instead of some of their more recent pickups. But the use of Billy Starks in this match, I thought was pretty brilliantly produced match. Like, to have Athena beating the crap out of Billy in an effort to win, that is one of the best coexisting trope maneuvers I've ever seen in my life. It is so different than can they coexist, because Athena says, I'm going to aim to win this match and I'm still going to beat the hell out of my opponent for Final Battle and soften her up in the process. The tandem offense, just being Athena using Billy Starks to beat the hell out of people, was so, so, so clever in my opinion. SP3, let's start with you on this. I loved the story that they told here. I thought Blair and Missa Kate looked great in this. Like, they got a little bit of offense in, but both of them sold like hell for this. I thought this was so much fun.
Yeah, this just made me laugh and just made Athena look like a world beater to the point where I was like, I don't know if she's going to lose tomorrow, because like, you just had her just beat up three people at once, including her challenger at the pay-per-view. So that's why I was glad that we got the post-match with Athena Billy destroying the title, getting Athena mad, brawling with her, going toe-to-toe with her with the brawl. But when security started getting in the way, she started blasting them with big, loud forearms right to the face. And then Athena took advantage of that and got control of things and ended the beatdown on top. So the fact that Athena's ended on top, I'm still good with my prediction. I think that Billy wins tomorrow, but damn, did that match make me have doubts that Billy's going to get the job done.
Sure. How ungrateful of Billy, has she learned nothing? I mean, we've been saying it all along. I did like the theory, though, that like, Billy Stark sent Lexi away was a fun one. Like, she convinced them to have their wedding around this time. So I liked what we kind of backdoored into that. But Kimmy, what did you think of the main event tag tonight? I thought this was such a clever way to head into the pay-per-view.
I thought this should have ended over the 8-man tag we saw right after this, because just the haunting image of Athena, like the crowd booing and Athena's like looking around, like destroying Billy, her spinner belt, her custom spinner belt is just broken. That is a go home segment.
What you want to go home
to. Exactly.
If there ever was one. Not Lee Moriarty cheating as the pure champion to win an 8-man tag that's not going to go anywhere. How rude. I have them reversed
in my notes. That's how much that should have been the go home, was I have them literally back to back in the other directions. I think I was trying to put the throwback match to last year smushed with this together, but I completely just put them out of order. So there you go. But I love that that was the I love that that was the throwback match because it also showed me how cagey Billy was last year against Athena. I thought that was pretty clever, but I agree with you that that should have main evented tonight for sure. But let's move on, guys. Thank you for sticking with us. No TNA show tonight, so no TNA post show tonight, but plenty of support from you guys. Keep those super chats coming. Please leave a thumbs up on this video too, as much as any show on Fightful. It's so important to get those thumbs up on this one in case people are trying to seek out ROH content. They don't really know where to go. Kind of the little show that could over here because we are a blended show of two shows that are not.
Is about to get underway just before.
I mean to play that ad. That was not intentional.
I was like, why is Sean crashing the Ring of Honor post show of all places?
No, very, very much not going to be the case from him this week. But what I was going to say was we gave you our predictions. And tonight, you can't bet on wrestling. You can't bet on wrestling for this card. But you can bet on wrestling in the future with our partners at BetOnline.ag. Now, we've been pushing Fightful Select. There's tons of you watching right now. So I'm going to push it again on you. The Kenny Omega news broke earlier today. Tons of contract news this week. So much more to come. But one thing we also put behind the paywall is those underdog lock picks for pay-per-views that you can bet on. They do have some stuff open for future WWE things of who's inducting who into Hall of Fame and Royal Rumble potential winners. So you can check that out there. But we're going to let Sean, recorded Sean, chump of all Top Golf, tell you all about it right now.
For years, you've seen BetOnline.ag's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline.ag. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline.ag.
I'll tell you what. It was on this very post show that we did a crossover with the TNA group and we started talking about those TNA rundowns. And I made a lot of money off of putting money on Masha Slamovich over Jordan Grace, who was like a minus 10,000 favorite. So those underdog lock picks are so for real. And thank you to Joel. I unfortunately have to thank him for that. So I did turn $25 into like $200 that night. So good stuff from that. But let's talk about what was actually the main event, because Kimmy is smart and corrected me. Lee Moriarty, as you said, Kimmy, cheating to win that 8-man tag. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater makes me think Nigel McGuinness is going to come teach him a lesson or two. What do you think, Kimmy?
Running from the grind. How are you going to cheat and you're the pure champion? That is so against pure championship rules. All right? Like, damn, Lee Moriarty. But this match was okay. I mean, it wasn't really a strong, oh my god, I cannot believe this is the go-home segment. You saw Dark Order and Gorilla Junk Vets get into it. They left the match. What horrible tag team partners they are. They left Shane Taylor Promotions and Undisputed Kingdom for basically dead. How rude. I would never want to team with them ever again if they would do that to me. But yeah, this match was fine. Everyone got to show out, got their stuff in, and everyone is on the show tomorrow. So good job, people.
Hoping we hear effing in the bushes to come teach Lee Moriarty a lesson here. But this is something we've talked about kind of week over week, SV3, of they have chances. They have a whole week to edit this show, really. They've got a good 5 full days to edit the show. And sometimes it feels like the main event is not in the main event slot and it's not even the opener. This kind of felt like the case with this. But I have to say, it did unfold logically into what's leading into this card tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, they had the feud that they were kind of pushing in this, which was really the Dark Order and Grizzled Young Veterans, but they also kind of did the work as far as infantry versus Undisputed Kingdom. I like the kind of mix of the teams. We had like Dark Kingdom or Undisputed Order versus the Grizzled Young Promotions. So
the Grizzled Young Promotions, I love it.
GYP. GYP, I thought they worked well together. That's why they got the win. I don't consider it cheating. It's not cheating. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, to me. That's what I'm saying in life. So I think that it's only right. He's the pure champion. He has a nice flexibility of the rules. He has his own rules. So he can't go down the parameters of a regular rules matchup. Okay. So he's just doing what he has to do. So
Eddie Guerrero disciple, SP3 over here. I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it at all. So I keep that love, keep that support coming, guys. If there's anything that you want to talk about Final Battle, anything you want to discuss in relation to that new TV deal, we do get to go a little longer tonight because we don't have Papa Joel coming in to kick us out and tell us to go to bed.
Unbelievable.
Well, I think we alluded to this. We were all pretty perplexed by Serpentico defeating Sydney Akib, who looked really, really good in this. That Senton Atomico, excuse me for my lack of being able to pronounce things and being dyslexic. but I am simply puzzled as to why Sydney Akib did not win this match. Even if it's a one-off, like where does this go for Serpentico, Kimmy? I don't understand what did we accomplish with this?
Nothing! Because what do we accomplish in Ring of Honor, folks? Nothing! Woohoo! This was really good. I said this the last time that Akeem was on Ring of Honor. I believe he was there for the Texas tapings. I don't know why they don't bring him in more. Because he just fits the Ring of Honor mold. I think he'd be great in the Ring of Honor TV picture. Hell, I'm pretty sure he could probably do a pure rules match if he wanted to. Just sure. Things to do, right? So he's insanely talented. Love to see him more. But yeah, Serpentico is like the Ring of Honor jobber. You're telling me we're feeding him wins now? What is he going to do? Where's his tag team partner? What is happening?
I don't know. This was very confusing, but a very good match. Serpentico is so much fun. Like, I do enjoy watching him. And one repeated theme of Serpentico's value on this show that SP3 and I have talked about kind of ad nauseum at this point is his ability to give other people really great matches. That's what he's there to do in this stage of his career, essentially. And he's excellent at that. Sydney looked great. Just a puzzling little booking decision over there, SP3. What are we doing?
He did a double backflip cutter for a two count on Serpentico.
And not just a double backflip two count, like because he knows how to do it properly. Sometimes this is going to
be so smooth.
This is going to be the nerdiest conversation, but you're watching an ROH post show, so I'm pretty sure we're in safe company of nerds here. But like a lot of times, handsprings, backflips, they don't give you more momentum. I feel like the only handsprings to the corner spot that's actually properly done is Tiffany Stratton because she was an actual gymnast. So she's actually picking up momentum as she goes into the corner. This was akin to that. Like this double flip into the cutter was not like, why are you doing something fancy before delivering an average cutter? Like he got height and momentum and punishment on that cutter because of those extra flips. So I also like that. I'm not always a fan of the superfluous nature of some of that stuff. You guys know I'm a Tekker nerd, so that's like the opposite category. That's a Righteous Wrench thing for you right there. You got your spot foo kind of. But yeah, I was puzzled. I was like, oh, what a cool finisher, and then it didn't send the match.
I was like, oh, that's the finish, right? Nope. I was like, oh my god. No, I was like, the first clue that I got that he was going to lose is when he came out and they didn't have any video for him. They didn't have no Contron for him. I was like, oh, no, they ain't going to do him like this. He's versus Serpentico. You couldn't even put him against Premier Athletes. Premier Athletes, at least y'all used them. At least y'all used them.
Wait, they weren't on TV this week. Hold up. The premier athletes were not on TV and they're not on this pay-per-view. This is a rare Ring of Honor occurrence where they're not involved. And I don't know whether to be excited or confused and shocked.
A little bit of both. Little column A, little column B.
I'm confused and shocked that you couldn't use them for this spot. But, Sydney Akemi looked good. That's all that matters. Hopefully he gets more appearances on Ring of Honor TV.
Would not be mad at seeing him around more. Would not be mad at seeing him around more. Guys, we're about a third of the way through this episode of Ring of Honor. We did extensively talk about the card for tomorrow. We gave our predictions and worked through that because we don't have the TNA post show on the other side of us. We are staying up late and having a slumber party. But let's talk about this win from the Murder Machines, Lance Archer and Brian Cage, with Don Callis on the Iron Savages. Now, I had said like a couple months ago that part of my concern with the Iron Savages was they seemed to have a foot in both silly world and extremely serious badass world. And I felt like they hadn't struck the balance. I kind of still feel that way because against a team like the Murder Machines, this is who that should work against, is these guys who are there to kick your ass. But like, no, you can show that you can hang with them. And also the comedy is there. And it just feels like we're playing too much in different worlds as opposed to being able to play two sides of a same coin. I love the Iron Savages as workers. I miss when they were Bear Country. I liked that presentation more. I think Jack Jameson has incredible upside in his charisma. But for me, I kind of just miss the badass bruisers that were kicking at people's asses. I don't say that needs to be void of personality, certainly. But I don't think this hybrid that they're going for is connecting for me. And I felt like if it was going to really show up, it would probably happen in something like this. But didn't get that tonight. Murder Machine, coolest tag team name I've ever heard in my life. This was very fun. SB3, we'll start with you. What do you think of this punishing little tag team match that we got here?
Hey, cool for Murder Machine to be here. I think if Murder Machine is going to win tag team gold, they're probably better off in Ring of Honor because I just need as many tag teams as possible to get these titles off of Dustin and Sammy as quickly as possible.
Well, so, where's Lance Archer from?
Texas.
Where the Texas connection is at least there. We're inching closer.
Counteracting the Texas, the powers of Texas, with another Texan. That's how it works. See? We're on to something here.
That's people. Not checkers over here. That's what we're doing.
Murder Machine, your future Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. But I 1,000% agree with you. I want to see a little bit more serious stuff from Iron Savages. I feel like this act has gone stale. Whereas with like the reason that I make jokes about premier athletes is because they've been doing the same act for months, but it's over. It's over. These Iron Savages are doing the same act, and it's not over. So like that's what I said. Like we gotta find something that works. Maybe if you were doing the act along with getting serious when the time comes for it, like in this situation, maybe more people would be invested.
I agree with that. I agree with that too, from the perspective of like if they're not going to win, it kind of leads to us laughing at them more than laughing with them when it isn't connecting. But Kimmy, where did you stand on this match? And are you kind of in the same camp as us as far as Iron Savages? Are you like, no, I'm going to Titty City. I like it here.
No, I agree. I mean, they are mostly like the premier athletes, basically the Ring of Honor jobbers. I feel like they should have their own faction, like Serpentico and Helico, premier athletes, Iron Savages.
Serpentico's a winner now, so I don't know.
I mean, he gets one win a month. It's like, does it even out?
More than I can say for the premier athletes.
This is true. Don Callis on Honor Club. I've truly seen it all now. If Don Callis could show up, Chris Jericho could show up a little bit more often, in my opinion. This match was a little too long because, I mean, the Iron Savages aren't usually featured. And this match went like 8 minutes. And I was like, bro, where's the squash? One time I want a squash match on this show. Unbelievable. But I think the bigger thing is I would have rather seen Brian Cage in a singles match promoting his TV title match tomorrow instead of him being in a tag match that's like the TV title is getting buried in, like you're defending that title against five other people. You should showcase that, show your dominance. But Don Callis and Cage beat down the Iron Savages to show that dominance. And I will actually go to a comment in the chat, talk about how the Dynamite show at Hammerstein sold out, because I could actually say that they gave no comps for that show.
Nope, they did not.
Wow.
I had a lot of friends that were very angry that they were no comps for the Hammerstein show. So that is completely sold out, and I'm very excited because that was something AEW really wanted to do and push for, and they were able to do it.
That is that it is good that the ticket is that hot. They've really adjusted their strategy. And it seems to be paying dividends and how hot these crowds have sounded on TV and things like that. So excited that this trio of events is leading to some good results for them. But we're moving along, guys. Thanks for sticking with us for our plus-sized episode of the ROH Review. Kimmy, if you need to depart to go to your other show, feel free to do so whenever you need to. But if you want to stick around, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
We'll talk about the Queen Aminata match, and then I'll bounce, because I have a theory about the Queen Aminata match.
Well, what better note to end on? We've got Queen Aminata beating Lady Frost via submission, using that Jim Briggs arm bar, which I love, 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 love. If you know me and my techers, you know I love the Jim Briggs arm bar. But I'm just so, Lady Frost looked great in this, but I want to know this theory that Kimmy has.
So Queen Aminata's been on Ring of Honor a lot. And I was like, why? Like, she's been featured on AEW a lot, like, so many times. She had that amazing match against Mercedes. I thought she was going to stay over there. And I was like, wait, Billy Starks needs that first feud for the Ring of Honor Women's title, doesn't she? And I was like, wait, Aminata's been stacking up a lot of these wins. I was like, oh, that and that. And yeah, so I think Queen Aminata is going to be Billy Starks' first feud. This match was great. Aminata dropped an F-bomb in the middle of the match, which was like, okay, heel, I see you. Just let's go. But this match was really good. Lady Frost is someone who I definitely want to see featured more. She was featured pretty regularly. So I don't know what we're doing with that. But yeah, I think Queen Aminata is going to be Billy's first feud.
That would be very fun. They did kind of dissolve that partnership with Red Velvet out of nowhere for no other reason than Aminata was just working more. I was having so much fun with it. But Kimmy, before you head out of here to your other podcast, because you don't run from the grind like our TNA crew, Joel Pearl, tell people where they can find you, including on In the Weeds tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah, so you can find me on In the Weeds tomorrow to bother Joel and Jeremy, proving to them that Ring of Honor is real. If you want to hear more Ring of Honor talk after this is over, because this is a way more fun.
The draw is taking our people with her. My God.
Technically, I took the people from Between Two Beards to come here, and then they're going to follow me to Honor Rumble. Right. So I'm taking everyone's stuff. But you can head over to Honor.
You put us over before you left the territory. I respect it. I respect it.
Thank you. I'm going to put you guys over even more in like 2 seconds. But you can head over to OLE Establishment to hear me talk more about Ring of Honor, a little bit more in depthly, where I just yell for an hour being like, what is Ring of Honor doing? You can follow me on Twitter at Kimmy_Sokol, Blue Sky at Kimmy Sokol, Instagram at Kimmy.Sokol. And very importantly, I've told Kate this a bunch, but my big goal this year was to get on Fightful for something. I've been able to do that a lot. I crashed the Christmas stream last week, and I remember Sean texting me the next day. He goes, that was really fun. I was really happy you did that. And I go, well, I was happy I did that too and surprised you. So glad that you didn't kick me out for 2 hours. But yeah, the Fightful crew has been absolutely amazing. They're some of my closest friends in this space, and I've been so grateful to get to know them. And I'm so excited to see SP3 tomorrow at Final Battle. So yeah, thank you guys for having me and letting me crash your stuff and not and dealing with me. I know I'm a lot on these things.
No, stop. We love having you around, and one of the brightest young minds in this industry for sure, going to exit the wrestling media space, but going on to do incredible things. I can't wait to see the growth from Kimmy Sokol, because the sky is the limit for this young woman. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Kimmy. Thanks for your predictions. Go support the Ole crew over there. Good people behind that machine as well. So fine, take all of our viewers, Kimmy. Get out of here. We've had enough of you.
But again, if you want to see him on Fightful again tomorrow in the weeds, I will be there yelling at Joel, because that's what we do. And proving to Jeremy that Ring of Honor TV does exist, because he tries to convince me every week that it doesn't. And I'm like, bro, Honor Club, you have a Ring of Honor post show. What do you think they talk about on the Ring of Honor post show? He's like, I don't know. It doesn't exist.
He has no honor. Honor isn't real to him.
I've never met Jeremy, but I was like, if I tried to shake this guy's hand, there's no way he would. There's just no way. I just know that. I can just tell.
He wouldn't even touch tips with you.
I know. Rude. Rude. Follow Kimmy everywhere except for in real life. That's weird and creepy. But follow her on social media. She's delightful. And a top golf champ, not a top golf chump, as we like to say around these parts. So bringing the boom on the way out. I like it. On that note, incredible stuff. What a delightful young lady. What a delightful young lady. So stick with us. Go support her podcast after. We're here. We're grinding. We're going to keep working through this episode of ROH. We did talk about this a little bit earlier, but for hygiene's sake, we'll clean it up along here. We got Lee Johnson with EJ and Duka defeating Bishop Khan with Toa Leona out there with a jackknife pin. This kind of goes against the booking logic that we thought we were going to get, but I don't know. Something gut instinct wise still tells me Lee J's going over here, because we did have this post-match scrummage a little bit here too. What did you think? Or skirmish, rather.
I'm interested in Khan looking like he wanted to adhere to the code of honor after the matchup, and the fact that he was the one that was holding back Toa Leona, and he whispered something in his ear. What did he whisper? Because I was like, oh, they're gonna act like they're walking away, and then they're gonna attack them. And I was like, and then it didn't happen. And I was like, oh, okay. I did not get what I was expecting there. So I'm interested. Like I said before, I think that the build to this has been kind of simple stuff, but at least has been stuff week to week leading up to the pay-per-view. So I think it deserves to be on the main card, but I'm happy to watch it on the Zero Hour.
At least there's stuff. It's kind of where we're at with the ROH right now. But we kind of talked about Lee Moriarty extensively already, but Alicia Atoot was backstage for an interview, and I was... honestly, my biggest takeaway from this was I'm just happy to see Alicia Atoot being used. She's extremely talented. Yeah. She's been signed for a while. I think there's some maybe visa issues going on or something. Something's up with that. But she is extremely skilled at what she does, and I was very excited to see her being used on tonight's episode. She's great. She's great. Arcadia was also on this episode. She hasn't been used a ton either, so... just nice to see that presence growing in the backstage interviewers, because they have a lot of really great ones, and Alicia definitely fits that mold. Anything that you wanted to comment on there?
I was going to say, I think they should just use Alicia as the backstage interviewer. I think Arcady Aura is really good at ring announcing, and she does a great job of that on Collision. So at least they have a role for her on Collision. Alicia, I do agree. It was weird that they were using her at first when she first came to the company. Then they kind of laid off of it for a little bit. I'm not going to read anything into the timing on that, but she was in the news earlier this year. Anyway, I'm glad that they look like they have found a role for her. And if it's on Ring of Honor, maybe she can become a presence like Lexi Nair has become, and where she's been called up to Collision now.
Agreed. Melissa Santos was also kicking around for a while there too. So, Lexi's still on her honeymoon. That is true, but there's space for everybody that they signed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed them, I think. So
exactly, you don't need to give Lexi Ring of Honor after the Athena storyline is done. It's like, let Lexi just do Collision and let Alicia do Ring of Honor. Use the people you have.
Not mad about that, and I agree. Lexi should travel everywhere that Athena goes. But we do get Arcady backstage. She did well with this one. It was basically just setting up Layla Hirsch and Red Velvet. Hirsch said that Athena and Billy Starks would not be there to cover her this time. And Velvet responded by saying that she didn't need saving. But Hirsch says that she has already beat Red Velvet before and she'll do it again. So nice carryover with that. And I think Layla Hirsch's gripes should be based on things that happened in the ring more than they are based on other things. Like, that is an in-ring focused wrestler. I call her Little Lady Taz for a reason. She's incredible. We're kind of on opposite sides of the fence on who's going to win this. I would love if it was Layla. That would make me very, very happy. But, did you have any thoughts on this segment? I thought it was a pretty nice little go home segment. Not mad about it.
Yeah. Simple, to the point, kind of concise. I think they got it done in like a minute and a half. So very short, to the sweet, to the point. I mean, there's nothing more that we can kind of read into it. They did well for what it was, but it's nothing that I'm going to, like, write home about. But I like the fact that they have kind of kept it simple with this build, because I think that the work in the ring is going to speak for itself.
I agree with you on that. And then the only other two things on the show were the vignettes that we already spoke about. So we can go home on this, but any final thoughts? Are you excited to be headed back to Hammerstein tomorrow?
I am. It's going to be my first time in Hammerstein Ballroom since 2019. And Kimmy was the one that I think she mentioned, what is that, her fourth, fifth Ring of Honor?
Six. This will be her sixth one, which is impressive because she's 23 years old, I think.
Exactly. I was like, man, I don't think I had that many at 23. I started going at 18, but I don't know if I had that many. This will be my 11th final battle that I will be in attendance for. I think it's like 9th or 10th in the Hammerstein Ballroom, because I did go to one in Philly. And then there was the one at Terminal 5. I sat on the floor and my legs were flinging from the balcony. So that was fun. But yes, my first time going as a media. So that's going to be cool. So excited to be there live. And some of the matches I think are going to deliver, mostly the main event. The main event is what I'm really looking forward to as far as the card goes.
Do you think we get any surprise debuts, returning talent, main roster surprises coming in to work a quick program? Announcements? Do you think we get a TV announcement? Anything like that?
I'm going to say the TV announcement. We get okay. The TV announcement either on the show, after, or before the main event, or like, yeah, before the main event, or during the post-media scrum.
I think that could be really fun. I think there's probably a post-match angle in the Jericho Cardona thing. I don't know what it is. But yes. I'm going to assume there's something there.
I'm going to say Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks comes out and he beats Jericho and Cardona.
I want that. I don't think it's going to be that, but I want that. But we'll see. We will see. I'll be reviewing it probably by myself. I might have someone jump on with me, but SP3 will be there. He'll be checking out the scrum after. Kimmy Sokol will also be there and checking out the scrum. Andrew Zarian and a few other friends of Fightful will also be there. So very much looking forward to this pay-per-view. The pay-per-views always deliver, even with the half-baked build sometimes. So we will see how that goes. But thank you for sticking with us on this kind of supersized episode of Ring of Honor post-show. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support. Please leave a thumbs up on your way out and subscribe to Fightful Select, because there's going to be more scoops coming. We'll see you next week. And the TNA crew will not be here next week again because it's another best of show. But we do not run from the grind.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.